Hello, this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host this week, Shane Lees, and joining me, I've got Dan Tracy.
Good evening.
And I've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Okay, we'll start off with the news, and there's a few things worth talking about. So first of all, let's talk about Newcastle. They can't seem to find a result anywhere these days, and they've actually lost again. This time it's off the pitch, as Jonas Gutierrez has won his employment tribunal. He'll be getting roughly £2 million in damages.
Right.
Yeah. Almost £2 million in damages, but it's probably the symbolism of the whole thing more than anything that proves that it's still a thing about player power, but it also proves that clubs can't really treat their players like shit and get away with it. I think it's good. I think Newcastle were absolutely reprehensible in what they did. And yeah, I'm glad that they got a bit of an ass-kicking. Maybe this whole season is karma. In other news, we've got... Well, we often complain about players diving, but this time it's players driving. Riyad Mahrez has been given a 6-month driving ban for speeding. So he's been having a really great season. He's been going past players like it's nothing, but can't really do that with speed cameras. So I'm sure he doesn't mind too much, because things are going pretty well for him at the moment, and looks like he's going to win the league. And
The police will probably let him off as well, the Leicester City fans.
There we go. Just had to wait for some sort of luckful reference regarding Leicester, but...
Yeah, we've got to get one in.
Yeah, I think that, like you say, I think it will swap a 6-month driving ban for a Premier League medal at the end of the season, so I think it's on balance, not the worst deal, is it?
Yeah, I think it'd probably take it. And the final piece of news we've got is Mark Noble proved there is justice in being noble. After Ander Herrera feigned injury to waste time in their FA Cup tie, he picked him up and dropped him off the pitch, and he will not be retrospectively facing action. So I'm pretty glad about that, because I absolutely hate it when players roll around pretending they're hurt. As far as I'm concerned, if you're a player and you're rolling around pretending to be hurt, the other players have a right then to go and stamp on you and actually make you scream like you have been pretending to be for the past 2 minutes. Sounds like a harsh solution, but it would work. It would stop them doing it, wouldn't it?
I like this sort of survival of the fittest element you've got to football, sort of just roughing up a bit. I quite like the sound of that. It sounds very British, doesn't it? You know, like none of this foreign diving. Like, a bit of xenophobia to start off with.
Yeah, well, if you've listened to me before on this show, you'll know I have some controversial views when it comes to foreign people. But okay, we'll start off with the FA Cup, perhaps the most English part of this show. United beat West Ham 2-1 away from home, so they'll be facing Everton. Palace will be facing Watford. So I want to ask... We'll talk a bit about the West Ham's perspective before we do anything else. Was that a bad result for them, or was that actually... More realism than what they've been going through for the rest of the season.
Love it. It was a massive FA Cup upset, to be honest with you, and I think it again proves what the competition's all about. I mean, I know, obviously, if you said this 5 years ago, or even 2 years ago, it'd be absolute crazy talk, but no, I think, obviously, Upton Park, it was last ever FA Cup games we played at that fantastic stadium, and two fantastic English teams, and it delivered, fantastic game, and Man United, in my opinion, caused the upset, and we saw a fantastic goal from Rashford again. But yeah, I thought it was a cracking game. I don't think anyone put it. I mean, West Ham played badly. I just thought Man United were very disciplined, scored, to say, two good goals, and yeah, I think they got the job done, and they're into the semi-finals.
Yeah, I think West Ham are going to be disappointed with themselves, really, aren't they? Because, like you say, it's meant to be the big send-off for Upton Park as the last ever cup game. And you'd think, on the balance of the way both teams are playing at the moment, that West Ham would have every chance to beat United, especially the way West Ham played, for example, on Saturday, and United played on Sunday. You'd think, out of the two, West Ham are probably slightly favourites. But it's not, you know... I think where West Ham have to go now, they have to sort of make sure they finish in the top six just to make sure they get something of this good season. Otherwise, it might just fizzle away and they won't get any reward for how they've been playing this season. But, yeah, I think ultimately they'll be disappointed not to end the season with a trophy. So I think it was there for the taking. You look at the draw now, you can pick any one of those four winners, really, so...
All right, we'll talk about that. It was obviously an absolutely fantastic goal by Marcus Rashford. Who we were saying a few weeks ago about Marcus Rashford, him going to the Euros would be just absolutely ridiculous. But then again, we were saying that about Dele Alli when he got first put into the squad. And you look at what Rashford's doing now, wouldn't be crazy. But let's talk about Man United as a whole. Would an FA Cup win keep Van Gaal in the job, presuming he finishes fifth?
No.
I think it's because you sort of think, oh, is it FA Cup or bust? But I don't think even the FA Cup would be enough. I think the FA Cup victory, if it does happen for Manchester United, will be a sort of farewell present, almost like a golden handshake. Thanks for all you've done, but now enter Mourinho.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're not Arsenal. They don't just celebrate FA Cup as success and that's that. They're a massive club, and I think they're not getting Champions League football, which in my opinion is an absolute travesty. And yeah, I think even though they do win the FA Cup, it's done. He's a goner. At the end of the season, and Mourinho to come in, so it'll be a nice farewell present in a way. And in a way, that's probably what Arsenal should have done when they beat Hull a couple of years ago.
All right,
should have been the perfect farewell present.
Let's presume they finish fifth, just for the sake of argument. So Man United finish fifth, they win the FA Cup, they end up getting, I don't know, Palace in the final when they win that game. Would that be a good season, a nothing season, or a bad season?
I think expectations sort of change throughout the season, don't they? Because if you said what you've just asked at the beginning of the season, you'd say that's a bad season. But from where they are now, and you sort of have to think, right, what can we do between now and the end of the season? You'd think, okay, is a cup, because of how we played this season, all that bad? Probably not. It's like relative success more. It's hard to sort of define the success that you have in August at the same sort of levels that they are sort of now, really. So I think the expectations will change as the season progresses. But ultimately, you say it's not a great season.
Are we maybe being a little bit harsh on Man United, or maybe even Man United fans being a little bit harsh on themselves? The FA Cup is a major trophy. I think you look at any other club, Chelsea, City, any of these sorts of clubs, they'd be happy winning an FA Cup in a season if they didn't do anything else. Yes, they'd also expect Champions League football, but considering the turmoil Man United have been going through in the past probably two seasons now, I almost feel like if that's any other club, it's a success. But for Man United, for some reason, it just seems, no, that's still a bad season. It's almost like you win the Champions League or you win the Premier League or it's a failure.
It's not just United, though. I think it's any sort of team that you put in that Champions League bracket of teams. So, like you say, United, Arsenal, City, Chelsea, perhaps even Liverpool. If you're going for a top four and you don't get top four, then to win the FA Cup's a bit of an afterthought. It's like it's not what we wanted, but it's a trophy. And I think it's because people's expectations, their clubs get so high that it's like a booby prize almost, isn't it?
Whereas, yeah, a bit of a consolation.
If any other club was to win it, then it's success. But it's how you set your stall out at the beginning of the season, I guess. And then how you end is not sort of matching what you planned at the start.
Would it also highlight the difference, in a way, between clubs that are motivated by football and clubs that are motivated by money? For example, I think Man United is a very much a money-motivated club. It's from the ownership down, really. You have to look at it. And I think they look at it and go, it's Champions League qualification. That's where you're going to get all the money. And FA Cup, what's that going to give us? What, $4 million in prize money? It's not a lot. So do we think that maybe that attitude is now starting to actually filter down into the fans?
Oh, of course, yeah, because it's that whole rhetoric, isn't it? It's the way the Champions League has sort of taken the whole appeal of the FA Cup away. It's not Champions League it will bust as such, but, you know, everything is geared about top four football now, isn't it, if you're a fan of those clubs? Even a Spurs fan, it's all about top four. If this season we finish sixth, it'd be disappointing because we're not in the top four. Things have obviously changed this season because, fingers crossed, we'd probably be second, maybe even first in there. But, yeah, it's all about the actual sort of first target, isn't it? And anything below that, you don't meet the expectations of what you've set out at the start of the season. So I think it's the sort of psyche of a modern-day football fan. It's all about getting Champions League football first before anything else.
All right, we'll keep on this sort of thread here. Now, I want to talk about Roberto Martinez, because his Everton side is sitting in 12th. They are going to be the side that face Man United in the FA Cup semi-final. So I want to ask sort of the same question. Let's say they finish in the bottom 10. They don't get any higher than 11th at best. Probably more likely to be sort of 12th, 13th. But they win the FA Cup. They beat United, they take on Palace or Watford, and they win. Is that a good season for them?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, given the fact that how strong in general, how weird the Premier League's been this year, don't forget. I'd say it's probably a good season. They're not. I saw the Martinez out banners at the game against Watford. I think it's disgraceful. The bit they got to the Capital One Cup semi-finals.
The team they've got, they should be higher than top 10. Even Chelsea have managed to pull their season together.
But they've had the distraction of the cups. That's one of the, and I think it's not a travesty where they are. It's not they're sort of doing a Newcastle or even Palace. where they can sort of in danger of getting sucked into relegation, or Swansea getting sucked into relegation battle. They're comfortably mid-table. They probably still went and ended in the top half anyway, I think. But I think, yeah, they won the FA Cup. I think it's a fantastic season. When they've won the FA Cup, it's a fantastic competition, and they've won it. If they do, of course. And I think, yeah, Martin is doing a superb job there, and I think, yeah, they need to stick one. Yeah, obviously, the results in the Premier League haven't been as good as they'd like them to be, but I think they're not an Arsenal, they're not a Chelsea, they're not a Man City, so they don't really have any right to sort of complain and say, oh, we should be finishing top four without question of the year. Yeah, they've got a good squad, in my opinion, they've got the best striker, apart from Aguero in the league, but it'd be a few twitches over the summer, and then, yeah, but if they win the FA Cup, I think it'll be a fantastic season for them.
Okay, let's...
Everton, again, they're not expected to get top four football, but their own fans, they sort of expected a bit more this season, didn't they? They sort of felt that they should be pushing for at least the Europa League place with the squad they've got. So, in that measure, the league form is disappointing and underachieving, but at the same time, winning a cup, it almost sort of overdoes that. And you think, okay, a cup win is good for Everton, isn't it? Because, again, compared to Man United, they haven't really got top four expectations, so their expectations are slightly lower. So it's not all about getting top four football as a bit the be all and end all. A cup is, you know, a good result for Everton. I think personally, with Roberto Martinez, though, he might need to win that cup to keep himself in the job, because I think the pressure is on him. With this new sort of shareholder coming in. And I don't know if he's going to be the man to be allowed to spend all this money that's coming, meant to be coming in the summer. So I think if it's going to be a sort of golden handshake for Van Gaal, I think it might be the thing that keeps Martinez in the job. So obviously they can't both win it, so it'll be interesting to see what effect it has on both their managers come the end of the season.
I will say this in addition, if they win the FA Cup, Everton would get into the Europa League. And if for a club like Everton, Europa League football, cup winning competition, all of a sudden that's a season that's as good as finishing fifth or sixth. In terms of what you're actually getting at the end of the season. Plus, you've won the FA Cup, and that's a great achievement. Okay, I'll lead on from your point, and I'll direct this towards Nick. Let's say it goes badly. Let's say they go out to United, or they lose in the final. Does Roberto Martinez get the sack? Not whether or not he should, do you think he does?
Tough ones are cool, really. They're in the bottom half, and they don't win the FA Cup?
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't. However, if it's looking like he's probably got a case too, if that makes sense. It's a tough one to call, really, because I think he's done a pretty good job there, but...
Do you think he's done a good job? Has he not taken that club backwards? This was a club that was consistently under Moyes.
First season, he was superb. First season was their best season in history.
Yeah, but
they were brilliant.
The one thing they had with David Moyes was consistency. And that's the thing they've completely got out of the window now, any kind of consistency whatsoever. Is that not a step backwards for a club like Everton?
They
seem to be better away from home. I think, the fans are putting it under so much pressure that there seems to be a fear of playing in front of their own fans at Goodison Park at the moment. So, again, it all boils down to, are they expecting too much? It's hard to sort of say where it stops. Does it start with the fans or the manager or somewhere in the middle?
Okay, all right.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Is it delusions of grandeur? Are they thinking they're too big for what they actually are? I mean, they say, you know, you could point at Lukaku, Stones and Barkley as top-tier players, but apart from that, what have they really got?
Mm-hmm. I think Everton, they sort of compare themselves in a way to Tottenham, in the sense that for a long time they were in the same boat. They were both just outside the top four, maybe looking like one year they'd break into it. And I think they're looking at what's happened in the Premier League this season and going, that should have been us. That should have been us having a Tottenham season or a Leicester season. And they're looking at the absolute disaster of a season they've had in the Premier League and going, how the hell have we got this? A season that was this open, we should have been one of the surprise packages, not one of the sides who could have, at an earlier point, looked like going down. So,
yeah, spot on.
It's a difficult thing for Everton. For me, I'd say if they won the FA Cup, doesn't matter where they finish in the league, that's a successful season. You've achieved all your ends. It's like Southampton. I think they're a club that's comparable to us. We win the FA Cup, that's a massively successful season. I don't care what you say. Okay, we'll move on, and we'll talk about something we should have talked about last week, but unfortunately we weren't able to do a show, and that's Antonio Conte. There's been a lot being said about the new Chelsea boss. about whether or not he's very much another Mourinho in terms of very divisive, he's very combative. But do we think he can be a good boss for Chelsea, and can he get them back to the kind of heights they're used to?
Yeah, he's got a big tough, he's got a big job on his hands, hasn't he? I think, obviously, Mourinho never really invested over the summer. So I think, he's got big decisions to make. And I think he's also got big decisions to make who he's going to get rid of. So I think there's some players that obviously evidently haven't pulled their weight this season. So I think it's going to be quite a few faces leaving, but then quite a few faces arrive. So I think they've got a big summer ahead for Conte. But I think the most important thing is getting the fans back on side.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why he can't do a good job. Obviously, done well under Juventus in Italy. I think it's going to be key as to who he can buy in the summer, because now they've lost the Carrick Champions League football for a season. Obviously, couldn't probably get those top tier players. Still, being in London, the Premier League is an attractive proposition to anyone, so they're not going to sort of struggle to sign people, but they might lose out on targets they may have got, you know, if they're in the top four this season. And I think, like Nick said, it's going to be quite pivotal as to who they can keep. You read that, say, Diego Costa or Eden Hazard, maybe even Thibaut Courtois might be leaving in the summer, so he'll probably have his own ideas on who he wants to buy in come the summer transfer window. I think Chelsea are probably going to afford themselves one more season out of the top four as a sort of transitional season. And then if they don't sort of get back in within sort of two seasons, I think they're going to struggle. So it's going to be quite an important season to sort of shape the next few years to come.
Yeah, the one thing I really worry about with Chelsea is that there's a lot of their big players are going to be gunning for a move to clubs like PSG, maybe even Bayern Munich, those sorts of clubs. But the players that maybe wouldn't have necessarily been asking for a move, players like Willian, for example, I think there'll be interest. And when the interest comes in, rather than them going for a move, I think they'll be looking at that and going, I can go to a Champions League club. I'm in the prime of my career. I've got to be playing in the best competitions. So my real worry about Chelsea would be not who can they buy, because I think in the Premier League, whether or not you're Stoke or whether or not you are Chelsea, you're all going for the same kind of calibre of player. My worry would then be just how many good players could they lose? Because even though they've had a disastrous season, they've still got a lot of talent at that club. I wouldn't expect to see Hazard, probably not Costa, and probably not Courtois next season as a minimum at Chelsea. They're the three I'm expecting to leave. So, yeah, it is a bit worrying times for Chelsea, because it's very up in the air, and they're not really used to that in these last few years. The older Chelsea fans will... They'll remember when times were just absolutely crap for that club, but the newer fans, I wonder how many of them will be in City shirts with Guardiola around. All right, we'll talk about something else based in London, though, and that's the West Ham deal. Now, all the news has come out about this. I think they're going to be paying something like 2.5 million or 1.5 million, I can't actually remember, a season for their rent. They aren't going to be paying for any extra stuff like stewarding or anything like that, or cleaning up the stadium. It's...
Well, they can just leave it in a shithole and leave, and then...
They don't pay for the cleaners. It's paid for by the managers of the stadium.
So, oh, cool.
Okay, one thing I want to ask is, let's take this not from the West Ham perspective, because from the West Ham perspective, obviously, this is a great deal. This is you've got yourself a brand spanking new stadium, big stadium, it's a very good stadium as well, but in terms of... As a general thing for football, and maybe even just for people in this country, is this a good deal or is this not?
How do you mean? I mean, not from a West Ham point of view, because obviously they've got a cracking deal. I mean, do you mean from like a taxpayer's point of view?
Well, for me, I've got two positions on this. The first thing I'm thinking is it's a good deal. Now, this is because you look at what's happened in, say, Brazil, and you look at, say, what's happened in South Africa when they had the World Cups, a lot of those stadiums just haven't been used afterwards. And the worst thing you can have after a big competition like we had with the Olympics is to have nothing built on it, to have all your stadiums go nowhere. And so I think it is a good thing that this stadium is going to get used for a major purpose. I also think it's a good thing that West Ham were able to get a new stadium, because even though the Bowling Ground was a great stadium, again, they were probably needing to upgrade themselves in order to take that next step. They're clearly trying to. On the other hand, though, I think from, yes, the taxpayers' perspective, we have essentially funded West Ham Stadium for them. And two, from a wider football perspective, I'm kind of worried that we don't talk about corruption in British football often. We really don't. But the fact that this deal managed to get kept quiet for so long as well as the nature of this deal, I think questions do have to be asked about whether or not some palms got greased. That's, for me, the worrying thing.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly hasn't sat well with opposition fans, has it? I mean, from West Ham point of view, it's an absolute steal, isn't it? And fair play to him to whoever negotiated that deal. I mean, ultimately, you're right. It's good that it's not a white elephant, so it's going to get some use, and that can only be a positive. But it doesn't really sit well with a lot of people. I don't think we'll ever really see what went on in the background. But so, yes, it don't quite add up for me. There's just £2.5 million rent. That's dwarfed by the TV money, isn't it? So, I mean, what a...
Yeah, they basically got a free... I don't know how much that stadium costs, but most stadiums these days... I know Wembley cost around £1 billion, and I know the biggest stadium in Brazil cost around $500 million. So you're probably looking somewhere between that for that cost of that stadium. And they've essentially more or less got that for free. Their argument is we're only going to be using it 25 days in the year, maximum. So you can kind of see their point, but at the same time... They have got a stadium for free. There's been 14 supporters trusts who have gone out and got the Freedom of Information requests in. So yeah, when you say it's not sitting right for a lot of fans, basically it's not sitting right for any fans other than West Ham ones.
Nick, from a Football League point of view, do you reckon that would have a real detriment to Leighton Orient at all?
Absolutely. I think I've been to Leighton Orient away before. I've actually driven to Orient away before. A few years ago, and literally when you go at the Olympic Stadium, I'm not, no word of a lie, it literally is just round the corner. When we will exaggerate round the corner 20 minutes, I mean we're talking literally a couple of minutes walk from the Olympic Stadium to Orient's ground, and I think yeah, it's going to wipe their fan base apart. Obviously you'll have the old Orient fans have been there going there for a while, but I think it's just going to tear that club apart. I really hope it doesn't, but I just can't see how people are going to go to that sort of standard of football still when there's obviously the fantastic chance of watching Premier League football, a very good standard of Premier League football literally just up the road.
Especially for younger fans coming through. You talk about, like your parents bringing you to games when you're young and that's how you get into football. When you're that age and you haven't quite decided what club you're going to support yet, you got the choice between Leighton Orient and West Ham all of a sudden. So it's a no contest, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Yes, it is a complete no contest, and I think, sorry for Leighton Orient, obviously quite a traditionally run football league club, I just think with the West Ham moving there, it's going to wipe them apart, especially of how well West Ham ahead. I mean, West Ham have been tremendous this season, so I think that's just going to wipe Orient apart, to be honest with you. And I think I can only see West Ham's fan base getting bigger and bigger. I think they'll probably sell out their stadium. Maybe they won't say a big enough club at this rate anyway. But I think they'll sell that stadium out week in, week out.
Yeah, it's a multifaceted deal. There are some good sides to it, but for me, the whole thing just smells something sour. It's as Dan said, something just doesn't sit right with that whole thing. Okay, but we'll move on to the major news that happened midweek this week. That's the Champions League. So let's go with the big one first of all. No, it's not Barcelona, we're English here. Man City are through to the semi-finals, the first one in their history of the Champions League, after they triumphed. Or was it 3-2 in the end, on aggregate?
On aggregate, yep.
Yeah, so obviously you've reached the semi-finals now. The question is worth asking, can City win it?
I think they can, to be honest. I think the sooner they can... If they can get a few more wins, say, like, if they win the next three league games and they can get top four wraps up for the last day, then they can use the last two games, for example, to rest key players and use fringe players. And that means they can give a real full focus to the Champions League. And when you're in the last four, it's a bit of a cliche, but anyone can win it because you don't really get there by accident, do you? So they're in the hat, and I don't think there's any reason why they can't go all the way now.
If you are City as well, and you're looking at this and thinking, right, we might not finish in the top four, we're getting closed down a bit by the likes of United and West Ham, do we put all our eggs in the Champions League basket, knowing that if we win it, not only have we won the biggest competition in club football, Champions League next year is guaranteed anyway. Do you think they'll do that, especially with their injuries?
I'm sorry to cut you off there, Shane. Can I quickly ask a quick question about this? I haven't actually seen it written down anyway. Looking at the score at the moment, they're probably not going to. But say Liverpool win the Europa League and Man City win the Champions League, City end fourth and Arsenal in third. Would Arsenal be robbed off their Champions League spot?
No, if City won the Champions League and Liverpool won the Europa League as well, we would have five teams in it. So
the only scenario where someone gets robbed.
We could have a maximum of five teams, so I'd presume that would mean whoever was in fourth would lose that spot.
That's right.
It's going to
be City and then fourth, so.
Yeah.
So the nightmare scenario would be for, say, a Man United fan. So if Man United finished fourth, City finished fifth and won the Champions League and Liverpool won the Europa League, then Man United would get dicked by both ends of their rivalry not being the Champions League next season.
Cruelest of blows that could be.
I think we'd definitely have a few deaths off that, wouldn't
by both clubs.
I think a few people would pop themselves, wouldn't they?
Just for like the sheer novelty of it.
Sorry to sort of go off the subject a little bit there. I was wondering.
Yeah, for the sheer novelty of it, wouldn't that just be fantastic to see? Wasn't it Chelsea who did it a few years ago against? Who was Tottenham? Yeah, Tottenham.
Yeah,
yeah, that was another one of those cases. But okay, yeah, with Man City, it's obviously going to depend on who they get in the draw. But would you say they were dark horses, or actually amongst the favourites? With the squad they've got, presuming, because a lot of their players can get fit between now and those points of the season, would you say a near fully fit squad was up there in terms of, like, top two maybe winning it?
Well, they are, the holders are out. If they go and get Atletico in the semi-finals, then I really can't. I think they've got a great chance, you know. That's not taking anything away from Atletico. I know City are English, but I would love to see Atletico win the Champions League. But I think the City have got a great chance now. And when we talk about Pellegrini, obviously he's obviously there's jokes around that he doesn't care anymore. City, cause he's losing his job at the end of the season. But what a farewell present that would be for him if he can go out and win the Champions League. And to be fair to him, the offers will be flying for him in the summer, won't they?
It was a great result for him against PSG, and I will add this thing. On the podcast, I think I was possibly the only person who said I thought Man City were going to beat them. I didn't really see what threat PSG held. They beat a subpar all-season Chelsea, but to be fair, we spanked them 3-1 at home. It's not hard to beat Chelsea this year. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Great result for them. Obviously, they've got a very good side these days. The other one, and this is the major one, we've already mentioned it, Barcelona holders. It looked like they were going to walk towards a second Champions League trophy. Out, knocked out by Atletico. Again, another one the majority of us on this show called. We all said that's exactly the kind of draw Barcelona will not like. And it happened again. They got beaten by Atletico. Okay, we'll talk about Barcelona in a moment, but just how big a result is that for Atletico Madrid?
It's not a massive shock, though, is it? I mean, to take nothing away from the result last night, but let's not forget, Atletico are second in the league and 3 points behind Barcelona in the table themselves. So it's a big result, but it's not like a wow, bloody hell, Atletico Madrid have won. It's sort of, obviously, you probably made Barcelona favourites last night, but at the same time, you wouldn't be so surprised that they've crashed out.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you, but I'll put it this way. Barcelona were by a distance the favourites of that competition. I think the odds on Atletico getting it, they were probably, what, sixth, seventh, eighth to win that competition?
But no one's retained the Champions League since it's been the Champions League. So it's an incredibly difficult competition to win, and obviously proved that to win a year after. So,
Okay.
I think obviously it's done the bookies a favour last night of Barcelona being knocked out, but I don't think it's going to raise too many eyebrows either, because Atletico are a very good team and they're thereby right.
All right, we'll talk about Barcelona then. Now, their season, it was going great. I think they were unbeaten for 39 games, but in the last, I think it's 5 or 6 games now, they've got like, I think they've won.
1 win in 5 in all.
Yeah, that's it. Their season has just imploded, hasn't it? I mean,
just the wrong time as well. I mean,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it reminds me a few years ago, Benfica were unbeaten for an entire season and they lost 3 games at the end of the year, which was the Europa League final. Their cup final, and they lost to Porto, which lost them the league. So it reminds me a lot of that. So sorry, go on, what were you saying?
Well, I was just saying, I mean, they lost form at just the wrong time, and you look at Messi, Neymar and Suarez, and they can't seem to get a goal between them though. I mean, it's only Suarez who got the brace in the first leg against Atletico Madrid, but it's worrying times for Barcelona. You think a month ago when they were, 10 points clear over Atletico Madrid, and it was done and dusted, it was, you know, get the ribbons out and put them on the trophy, but all of a sudden there is an actual title race, and not only that, it's a 3-horse race in Spain, so it's certainly far from over in La Liga.
Now, none of us are exactly La Liga experts, in fact I routinely trash that league, but can any of us quite put our finger on why it went wrong for a team that is that good?
Well, Well, from what I've read, this is sort of anecdotal, that Messi's sort of playing with an injury, but you'd still think they've got more than enough talent to not have to worry about Messi being, at what, 70-75% fit. And I think it's just, every team goes through slumps throughout the season. You have small dips, don't you? They've been incredibly, maybe even go as far as lucky, but they've had their great run. And now, like I say, it's just form is completely just lost them at the wrong time of the season. So it's how they bounce back from this, and they can't afford any more stumbles, because otherwise, if they lose at the weekend and Atletico Madrid win, it's all level. So I don't think it's like one sole reason. I think it's just,
okay,
just a bad run of form.
The other two sides to go through were Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Both were pushed hard. It was 2-3-2 results again. Bayern Munich very nearly dropped it against Benfica, and Real Madrid managed to pull out a 3-0 win to undo their 2-0 deficit. And that was the one we got wrong on the show. We all said we reckoned Wolfsburg could do it. It got really close, so we were almost got it all right. But is it kind of lined up for one of those two clubs to go and... Because neither of them have had great seasons. Bayern Munich, yeah, they're having another one of their just walking through everyone season. But by their own standards, they haven't really got up to the high points they're used to. And Real Madrid, it's been an up and down season completely. But is it really lined up now with Barcelona up away for one of them to go and take control of that competition?
I don't know, because Atletico beat Barcelona, so Atletico could be thinking, well, hang on, we've got a real good chance of winning this. We can beat Barcelona, surely we can beat Real Madrid, we can beat Bayern Munich. And even City, they can turn around and say, well, what's stopping us doing it? We haven't got the Premier League to worry about, whereas the others can all win their leagues. We've got a great chance of winning the Champions League, so I think it's probably one of the most open competitions we've seen for the last sort of few years, because I think the last 2 years it's been obvious who's won. Well, last year it was obvious Barcelona were going to win it when it got to this stage, and the year before it was obvious Madrid were going to win it. So I think anyone can win it.
I think, you know, Atletico beating Real in the league recently, they handed Zidane's first league loss since he took charge, and I also think Atletico Madrid are going to want to try and exact revenge for that 2014 final defeat, where they were what, a minute away from winning it themselves. And like Nick says, I think you can make a case for absolutely any of those four winning it. And I think, like I say, because once you're in that stage of the tournament, it literally is just one of four. There's no outright favourite on any. I think it also depends on the draw. If Manchester City can get Atletico Madrid, both those teams are going to really fancy their chances of getting into the final, and that's the draw they'll probably want to get. They won't want to either meet Real Madrid or Bayern Munich again. They're not going to want to meet each other. So the draw is also going to create the landscape of the semi-finals, and then we'll have a better idea of who could get to the final come end of May. But it's going to take a brave man to pick the winner right now, because I can't.
All right, well, I'm going to have to ask us all to be brave. I want who we all reckon is going to win it. I'm going to put my money on Atletico Madrid, purely on the basis that the other sides have great attacks, but not a great defence. And great defences are what win you championships. And I think Atletico are the only side that every other team now is going to go, oh, are we going to score past them? Man City, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, any one of those four sides are going, yeah, we can get goals. We can get goals against those sides. It's just how many we concede. Atletico Madrid, everyone's going to be afraid of that tie. So I think this is their year.
I'm going to go for Real Madrid, based on, I think Ronaldo's just as good as he's ever been, really. So I'll go for Real Madrid.
In that case, I'm going to go for Manchester City.
Hey.
Why not? And also, I think, shouldn't forget that Manchester City are doing the Premier League a massive favour with their run, because they're extending the gap with their coefficient, so the top four place is secure for an extra season, because there's a bit of a worry that Italy are going to get overtake us, but thankfully City's run has secured that. And I think my best Soccer Saturday impression, Liverpool have just scored.
This is not a live show, but you can see.
Love to Chris Lappin in Liverpool.
Yeah, you can figure out what time we're doing this recording. Personally, I don't want to see Atletico win it. I want to see Man City win it, or Bayern, because I don't want to see 3 years of La Liga winning the Champions League. That'll be just tiresome. Right, okay, let's talk about the Premier League then. Go back to that. Race for the top four. So I'm not talking about, you know, the top two sides. I'm talking about Arsenal, I'm talking about City, I'm talking about United, I'm talking about, who's the other club, West Ham, and I'm talking about Southampton. So those are the five sides who you would say maybe could get in. Even Liverpool at a stretch, because they've got the games in hand. Do we think it is that wide open, or do we think it's going to look fairly similar at the end of the year as it does now?
I think it's going to look exactly as you see it. I think you could even make a case for the top six being exactly as you see it right now. I can't see there being any change.
Really?
And that's a boring answer, but I just think that that's probably the way it's going to pan out.
You couldn't see, for instance, West Ham going along. They've only got 1 point difference between them and United. You couldn't see City, say, dropping two, three games.
No, I think City have got Kevin De Bruyne back now, and they have company back within a few days, and I just think they've got through their sort of awful mid-season, and they've got a, you know, they know they have to do enough to get to top four, so I think they're looking better as of late, and I think they'll be fine. I can't see them throwing this one away now.
See, I'm just really not sure, because I'm looking at it and thinking 18 points up for grabs. I know I included Southampton in there just to make myself feel better, but we're not going to do it, obviously. I think Liverpool, outside chance, let's say they win their two games in hand, or is it one game in hand? I can't quite remember. I think it might be one game. Suddenly they're right back in it. I think West Ham have got a very good shot of pushing through, because they've just lost in the FA Cup, so they don't have that to worry about anymore, and I think that will almost galvanise that team. I think they will be breathing so much down City's necks. I know I should be saying it should be United because they're in fifth, but I just think they're just too inconsistent this season, whereas West Ham, they've got it lined up for having a great end of the year, I think. So I think...
If you're a West Ham fan, I think you'd assume there's a conspiracy by UEFA to not have you in Europe next season, because the refereeing they've had against them the last three games has been pretty awful, to be honest. So, I mean, they've drawn the last three London derbies, all been in a row. They had won two of those, they'd be a point behind City, so they'd be incredibly unfortunate. Yes, I mean, they could go on and sort of mix it up, but I just think 5 points is a bit too much, and I think City are looking a bit resurgent now, so I just think they had a chance a few games ago to really put pressure on City, but I think they missed their opportunity, personally.
Alright, well, I'll ask us to do it again. I'll put this down to three sides: City, United and West Ham. I want us all to say who we reckon is going to finish fourth. I'm going to go, I hate to say it, Man City. I'd like to say West Ham, but I do agree. I think that they've got enough of a gap.
Yeah, for that reason, I'll go with City as well.
What, turn fourth spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't look past City, to be honest.
Tell you what, for an amazing season, it does look like just a sort of ending on a bit of a dab note.
I said this in our group chat the other day. I said it's a fantastic season, which is probably going to have an anti-climax finish, because it looks like Leicester are going to win the league before. Obviously, don't get me wrong, it's absolutely incredible. Tottenham, Arsenal will probably slog it out for second and third. I hope it's Tottenham. But yeah, now I think obviously the Champions League spots all going to be sorted. Europa League, it might not be sorted, but who really cares about that?
Hey.
If Norwich beats Sunderland on Saturday, then that's probably that for the survival. So it's a fantastic season. I mean, a sort of I don't really want to call it anti-climax finish, because it's been that good, but it's not going to go down to the last day, I don't think, in any of them.
Alright, we'll talk about relegation. Now, Villa aren't technically down, but they are. Let's put nothing between them. They're not going to do a Leicester and just salvage
their season. Yeah. No, we don't.
Villa are down, but we've got three sides who you're realistically going to say are going
to
be in it, and that's...
To be honest, mate, I think they were down at the end of November.
They were probably down at the start of the bloody season. Norwich, Sunderland and Newcastle. Now, we did actually talk about this briefly on the 72 show, which you can check out on SoundCloud, where we talked about how these are some really massive clubs potentially going down into the Championship. But between those three clubs, which do you think would be the least damaging club to go down for the Premier League? Now, to put that into perspective, I would say Newcastle. I think Newcastle are the biggest club there, and they have a massive gate every single week. And I think for the Premier League to lose Newcastle again is a pretty big blow to the Premier League. That's what I think. What do you reckon?
I'd say Sunderland would be in the best shape to come back. Is that what you mean? Best shape to sort of come back up?
No, I mean, for the Premier League losing one of these clubs, one of these three clubs, which one do you reckon would be the worst for the Premier League?
Well, I think if you look at attendances, you look at history, I think you look at all that, it'll probably be Newcastle, because, they've got, there's always entertainment. The Geordies are a passionate bunch. They always sell out their stadium. They're a fantastic history club. I mean, you look at it, Newcastle would be a bit of a big blow, because everyone knows they all seem to have a cracking game every year, don't they? One of the matches of the season. So I think, it would probably be Newcastle.
Well, that said, though, they've been pretty rancid by their own standards this season. So, I mean, would they really be missed? Really? I mean, I'm going to lose the whole Newcastle fan base with the podcast. But
you say something mean about Sunderland in a minute, it'll be fine.
Well, I think, you know, it's not me being ignorant or anything, but the teams are down there for a reason because they're not very good. So would they be missed? You know, they might come back in a season or two time and all's forgotten again. But right now, it's a case of, well, good riddance to bad rubbish, really.
Harsh. All right, about Newcastle, a lot of people are saying, and this is mainly Newcastle fans saying this, it could be good for the club. You go down, you get rid of all the dreck and the players who just aren't really there playing for the club. I personally think that the main thinking behind that was, if we go down, Ashley will leave. Or Ashley will sell. I just don't think he will. I think it would take an absolute fuck ton for Mike Ashley to sell that club. I think he's just in too deep. So I think, I don't know, I don't think it will be any kind of good for Newcastle to go down, because the players they've got, how many of them could they realistically sell and get good money for? And of those that they can't sell, how many of those are the kind of players you want in a championship?
Not only that, all the players they signed in January, they don't have any relegation clauses in their contract. So you're looking at someone like Jonjo Shelvey, he's going to be picking up 80 grand in the championship next season.
And he's not going to have the same impetus to go and play championship football, is he?
Absolutely not.
He's going to be wanting that move straight away.
To be fair to Newcastle, in January, they've looked at it and thought, we need to have a go and buy some players, because with a new TV deal coming in this summer, what they outlay in January is going to be far more recouped come the summer. So you think, we've got to have a crack, otherwise we're done already. So they've had a go, but they've just been incredibly stupid in not then protecting themselves by putting simple things like relegation clauses in the contract. So they've shot themselves in the foot massively then.
It's one of those things as well. You'd assume the players would have wanted relegation clauses to be able to, maybe leave. It is a weird thing. Okay, Sunderland. Sunderland kind of gone under the radar considering how bad Villa and Newcastle have been. But again, it's another case of a massive club. It's a 4-point gap between them and Norwich, and you'd have to say Norwich are favourites for their game. Is it a disastrous season for them to go down, or is it actually about right for once?
Who's Sunderland?
Right. Yeah, Sunderland.
Yeah, I think they've been in the relegation battle for years and years to come, and I think if they go down, it could even be a chance for them to get sort of in a good shape when they come back up. They're ready to stay up, sort of thing. And I think keeping hold of Allardyce will probably be key for them. He'll get them back up, probably. And I think they're out of the three clubs that go down, Sunderland would probably be in the best shape. They've obviously got to make some change, but if they keep hold of Lee Catamol, he'll be a good side player to have in the championship. Defoe, if they can keep him, he'll obviously score plenty of goals to get them back up. So I think it would be a few tweaks to the team, but I think we're keeping Allardyce for starters, that they'll be in a good shape and probably one of the favourites to come back up.
So it is the general consensus here that Sunderland will be the least damaged club to go down. That, like, Aston Villa, Newcastle, if they go down, I think there is a real risk that it can just implode those clubs. Sunderland, though, seem a bit more protected, maybe by the virtue they don't have very good players, or they have championship standard players, and a championship winning coach. So is that the general consensus here?
I think that's about fair. I think, to be fair with Sunderland this season, though, it's just been a case of not enough goals and conceding too many at the other end. And also, if you look at something like Jack Rodwell's miss on Sunday, just summed up their season in a microcosm, really.
That was disastrous. That was the worst miss I've ever seen. I don't say that kind of thing often. That is one of the worst misses I've ever seen. I could have scored that. Like, way to lose your head. Jesus, that was awful. All right, Norwich. Okay, we'll talk about Norwich. Again, not a big club. Not a small club, not a big club. Have they managed to just essentially... They were probably one of the favourites to go down. Have they managed to dodge a bullet on the virtue that everyone else was really, really crap this year? Or have they done enough themselves to keep up?
Not yet. I mean, you look at Saturday's lunchtime game between Norwich and Sunderland. If Sunderland win, they've still got their game in hand. So you're looking at... It's obviously 2 from 3 now, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't think Norwich are safe just yet. If they win on Saturday lunchtime, then they're nearly there. But I still think they've got to pull their sleeves up and really get at least two more wins to sort of even start thinking about safety. So it's nowhere near job done yet for Norwich.
We'll do what we've done before and we'll try and call this one. I personally think the two that will go down will be Norwich and Newcastle. And I actually think that would probably be the worst turn of events, because I think Sunderland, as a lot of people have said here, do kind of need a relegation, because they can only keep doing what they've been doing for so many years before it just ends up building up and becoming worse. So I think Sunderland will just about dodge it. What do we reckon?
I think well, going down, I think it'll be Villa, Newcastle and Sunderland. I can't look past that. I think Norwich will beat Sunderland on Saturday. I think, yeah, we're looking at three big clubs getting relegated. I think out of the three, I think Villa will struggle again in the Championship next season. Newcastle depends on how they go about their business in the summer. And they sort of certainly get rid of all their dead wood and obviously get Alan Armstrong back could be obviously at the top of the list. And I think if they get someone like Nigel Pearson, then they'll probably be all right. But yeah, Sunderland, I think that if they go down, it will be they'll probably come straight back up. But it does depend, really.
Yeah, I agree with what Nick says. Pretty much spot on, to be honest. I think Norwich will win on Saturday. It'll nearly be job done, and I think it's going to be damaging for Newcastle and Sunderland. They'll cope. It won't be a massive sort of shock. They'll probably plan for life outside the Premier League, and they'll have parachute payments and all that. So I'd imagine one season out of it and straight back up. So you're looking at the two North East clubs and Villa for me.
All right. Well, I'll say this. My worry about Newcastle would be that they become a Fulham. That would be my worry for them. I don't think they're going to do an Aston Villa and potentially plummet down the divisions, which I think is a real danger. For Newcastle, I think it's just go down and just not be able to get rid of those high-earning players for a long time. That would be my worry for Newcastle. And I do like Newcastle. I've said it on the show before. I quite like that club, and I think it's an absolute travesty what's happened to them in these last few years. But okay, that is all we have time for on this week's show. Thank you for joining us on the V2 Football podcast. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at V2 Football. And please check out the 72 show. That's on SoundCloud. That's for the Championship, League 1 and League 2 fans. So if you're one of them, please check that out. That's me, Nick and Anthony and Matty Roper. They're all on there in some connection. We had Andy Cook on yesterday, and that's on SoundCloud now. So please check that out. Thank you for joining us, and that's good night from me.
Good night from me.
Good night from me.